Hey, this is Travis Santel.
And this is Yuri Lowenthal, and you are awaited. This is actually a tag on onto our second episode, onto the top, because we recorded this episode weeks ago at least.
Yeah.
Since then, we've launched the first episode, and you guys have been amazing. The comments have been terrific. We honestly thought that it would be the two of us and maybe my wife listening to this. And
I'm not convinced it's not. I don't know how many accounts your wife has on this website.
Okay, good point.
Right.
We want you to know we're excited by the comments. We're excited you guys are digging the show. I know one of the comments has been too much banter, more Mad Max.
And listen, I know that's directed
purely at me.
Right.
Okay, right. All right. Okay, at least we're even on that.
Yeah, but no, point well taken. It's something we were concerned about also. And I want to say right off the bat here that Yuri's been very good about policing the podcast.
No, I haven't. I've been very, just as much as you.
But you're the one who always brings us back. You are the white light I gravitate towards, I fly towards. It's really, you are my North Star.
Well, I will try to pump up the light. Here's the thing. We can't guarantee that we're not going to wander, we're not going to banter, because it's too... buddies who don't hang out enough, who have, you know, decided that the way they could hang out more is by talking about one of the things they love most. But we have decided there are two episodes that we've recorded that we don't talk about Mad Max. It was a weird segue.
Here's what happened. I'll just say quickly, because you'll hear them at some point. Yuri will explain. But
Yuri
was going to do an adventure where he couldn't watch dangerous films or violent films for a while.
In preparation.
And we were supposed to be watching all the Mad Max films. So we took 2 weeks off and just talked about other stuff, which I think are great episodes.
Yes.
I
so really what we'll like do, that. Though, because we haven't really earned your trust yet enough to just do two episodes of me and Travis talking about drugs. But we will put those in some sort of side thing, a bonus section, or maybe further on down the line.
Yeah,
on
we'll
the show.
See what to do with them. They are super funny and good, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. In the meantime, welcome to episode 2. Thank you for listening. Subscribe and do all that stuff. And we'll be listening. Oh, new Twitter. We have a Twitter handle, @YouAreAwaited. Talk to us there. We will be policing that. And we'll respond to many things. Also, thanks to Svanya at sci-fi.com, who put the word out for our show. And... probably that's how a lot of you guys got to it. So thanks to sci-fi.com. There's a forum there. I'm forum challenged, but I will do my best to engage.
And I will listen when Yuri tells me about the forum.
Excellent. Thank you. Welcome to episode 2.
My name is Max.
All right, with the Mad Max, with the music still in the background,
I'm just gonna
let it roll.
Yeah, listen.
I was so jealous that you got to see it for the first time, but I was so happy that I was here with you.
Here's what was frustrating, is that you kept looking at my face instead of the screen.
I found that
to be a little frustrating.
Was it weird that I was sitting on your lap the whole time, facing you, straddling you?
That part was fine.
Okay.
Here's what I've learned about the future, the dystopic future, is that fuel is in short supply,
mm-hmm.
but hair dye not in short
no,
supply.
No, and moose gel.
Tons of hair dye in that movie.
Yeah,
even Mad Max, who has nothing, he eats dog food. He's got some nicely coiffed stripes in his hair, which I don't understand.
I know because they. Well, he's older now. He's seen more of the world. You know.
Was that an aging thing?
It must. You know, they keep it up in the next film.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know,
it felt stylistic.
This is more exit music. It literally says exit music on the
screen right now for viewers at home.
Yeah, it went to Warner Brothers and then it just kept going. I'm glad they didn't end the music. They gave us extra music.
No, it's great. I like it. Extra exit music.
So much. See, this is, you know, I had not seen the first film all the way through. That was sort of the first time that I'd seen that. But this film I've seen many times.
That was my first time.
But it was your first time.
Oh, so good. It's really, really, I mean, this is where I really think you can see the mythology forming and sort of the George Miller mythos kind of happening.
Yeah.
Because I saw hints of it, but it felt very...
You were talking about this is where, when we were watching the movie, this is sort of where he finds his aesthetic.
It's totally right. Yeah, it's not derivative in the first film, but no. I've seen things like it Whereas this one, the only thing I've seen sort of close to this is Fury Road. I mean, this is right. this is its own sort of thing, which is really cool. Also, quickly, so in this
Take
world,
your time.
In, well, this is a side note, I think, really, but
We've
I'm curious.
We've got like a million episodes to fill.
Great. Well, okay. In this movie, I get that fuel and oil and gasoline. By the way, I have to go on record as saying, and this will come up again, I hate the word guzzoline. Yeah, I hate it.
Most people do. I'm going to be honest with you. Most people do.
I really hate it. Like, yeah. I've never read anything online about these movies, so I don't know the aesthetic, the popular aesthetic, but I feel like people must hate that. It's really silly.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
anyway.
And it's used sometimes, but not all the time.
Totally. It's not consistent. I mean, I get it, and it just feels... The movies feel so elevated and sort of interesting and it has depth and it's convoluted, but guzzoline. Yeah. But so they fight over this gasoline that is in short supply, and they fight over oil, but they only seem to use it to drive places to get more gasoline. Do you think that's a metaphor for the world and consumerism and that it goes nowhere? Or do you think there's something off screen that they use the gasoline for that we don't see?
No, I think they just use it for driving places and flamethrowers, obviously.
Right, but that's all in order to protect or to get more gasoline.
Yeah. No, it doesn't seem like there's a real master plan at work when they leave with that gasoline that probably will only get them about 1,000 miles away,
sure.
you know, from there.
Yeah. Is that frustrating? I can't tell how I feel about
blowing
that.
Up the refinery.
Sure. I mean, it's as a
metaphor. We're going to assume, by the way, to go on record, that you've seen these films or that you don't care if there are any spoilers.
No, I don't care. Oh, my name's Travis Sintel.
Hey, I'm Yuri Lowenthal.
Welcome to
You Are Awaited.
You Are Awaited. Yeah, we just launched into it there.
We
should come back to this gasoline idea over the course of the episodes.
It's definitely a thing.
It's the through line, but I feel like I don't know what they use it for. And I get that it's a resource, and I get that in our modern world, we know what gasoline's for.
Right.
But one of the things I love about this movie is that we'll also come back to, I feel like, is the idea of a new aesthetic, of a new world that's not necessarily like ours, but it's built on...
I love how they establish the scarcity of things. Mm. You know, every little thing from shotgun shells to, you know, the gasoline when he's catching it in a fucking hubcap in the beginning, you know, and sopping it up, you know, with the blood mixed in and squeezing
it
into the... Yeah, every little thing that the humongous Lord Humongous has the, you know, that 44 Magnum, he's only got like 6 bullets for it. Like that's all he's got,
and a nice red velvet case.
Yeah,
he keeps
he's been in. Saving it up.
What's the name of that character?
Lord Humongous. Yeah, that's
can I say something? I hate that name.
That's fine, man. That is so fine.
Lord Humongous. It's like he almost gave up. He was drunk. He's like, listen, I got to name this character. What's he like? Oh, he's really big.
He's big. He's
in charge.
Right. He clearly gets all the protein that this world has,
sure.
the scarce protein that this world has to provide.
Which is why
I brought up Bellflower. I mentioned to you this film Bellflower, which... You see, this is sort of required viewing to see Bellflower, although the two films don't really have anything to do with each other, per se. I mean, from a story, character, you know, any of that. But it is, you have to know this film to really
it is, it. I mean, it feels like the start of something big. I mean, this movie, in a way that the other one didn't, feels like a visual aesthetic that I haven't seen before. Like, really...
Yeah.
Really, very specific and iconic and personal.
Yeah, and you know, George Miller really shows us what practical effects and stunts.
Holy shit, it
looks different than CG. I don't care. You know?
So many things go under wheels in this movie.
Oh my God!
Just relentless bodies flying under wheels.
It is, yeah, and so beautifully photographed. I mean, time and time again, you were like, "That's a beautiful shot." Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And this was 81. Did we just? Yeah,
81.
This was just a couple of years after.
The jump
after Mad Max.
The jump between 79 and 81, not just in technology,
but in Warner Brothers money.
But in Warner Brothers money, in terms of budget, this movie is.
You know, I wonder if at the very beginning there's a shot where it's got sort of a signpost and it says One Tree Hill, however many kilometers that way.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that was the basis for the TV show One Tree Hill.
God,
I would love to believe that somebody watched Road Warrior and went, Chad Michael Murray, we need to do a vehicle for him.
Well, they share thematic sensibilities.
They really do. But then in the other direction, there's a sign for Casablanca. And I'm like, oh, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
That's sort of the Warner.
I feel like this movie could stand 5 to 10 watches, which you've had maybe, but I haven't had.
Yeah,
but of like just dissecting the same way Fury Road. And I'm expecting the next one to be even more dense in terms of visual. Is that wrong?
You may be.
You know I'm wrong.
Well, here's the thing.
For the listeners, Yuri gave a very disapproving face for people listening.
It does not sort of grow in its greatness.
Because so far it has.
Yes, I love that.
Because the only three, there's four movies, I've now seen three of the four.
Yes.
And so far, in my world, they've grown by leaps and bounds for each movie. Now, I've skipped the third out of the fourth. So it sounds like Yuri's still disapproving expression.
And you've got this huge smile, you know, the smile that just broke on my face that the viewers can't see but hopefully can feel is just how much fucking fun, how much I love what we're doing right now.
That's great. But it's good that one of us has seen it, one of us hasn't.
The next film, and I'm wondering if because I know that we're going to see these two today, we're going to take a break before we come back, but I'm trying to decide if I should go back and read again because as I understand it, when George Miller was headed into this third film, there was this personal tragedy that happened at the very beginning. Somebody I think who was, and again, because I'm not allowed to Google during this show,
you're not allowed
I do believe the stunt coordinator, somebody he was working very closely with on this film died, and he had a lot of trouble sort of going into it with the same verve that he had these last two.
Interesting.
And I think he had to sort of walk away from it a little bit and was not able to captain the ship in the way that he might have. And I believe this felt. Now, like I said before, wow, it's still, just so you guys know, the DVD is still, we just let it roll, or the Blu-ray, every conceivable language has a message coming up about, I don't know,
don't pirate this movie. Yeah, but we've seen,
that's how important.
Some of it seems like
Yeah, the Sanskrit, I think it was just,
yeah,
I
mean, Sanskrit,
I
don't even think Sanskrit. Some Latin.
Latin and, but, so, Road Warrior is the one that I've seen the most of all of them. And definitely of the first three, this was the one that I would always go back to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I saw the third movie, Beyond Thunderdome, a lot because of the time that it came out, it was cycling on cable.
Right.
So I saw, but it never, but it doesn't have the same, like this is one of those, Road Warrior is one of those movies where if you know, it's on, I don't know, do people watch TV anymore? But if it's on TV, you know, you come in.
You'll watch it.
Anywhere, you just dial right in.
Right. Well, you can track it. I mean, it's a one. All of his movies so far seem to be point A to point B, just a straight shot. We're getting this thing to somewhere else, and we got to just rush it.
Yeah.
And there's people chasing us, and we got to go.
Yeah.
And that's a very easy thing to slot into, I guess. By the way, we're watching Road Warrior and drinking. Please, Yuri.
No, I was just, do it.
It's Yuri has purchased Road Warrior Imperial Rye India Pale Ale. That we've been drinking.
I love the green flash. If you hear slurring, we've been drinking Road Warrior while watching Road Warrior.
Because we have subtlety.
let's be honest.
Yeah, metaphor and subtlety are what we exhibit here.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of the Green Flash. I like their West Coast IPA. And I still, I'm gonna be honest, because we've decided that's gonna be a thing for in our show.
Yeah,
it's just honesty, and I get more honest the more I drink.
Love that.
The Green Flash West Coast IPA is my favorite.
I love that you had to preface that with honesty. Like, let me be real about this. This
right.
is my
let me
favorite
be real about
beer.
This.
Okay.
This the other one is better than the Road Warrior. Well, I feel like we should, you know, I should be drinking it and we should be doing this, and then I should say, this is the greatest beer I've ever had.
Right, sure. Well,
but
listen,
I gotta be honest.
Context-wise, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I've
been saving it. I bought it like 2 months
that
ago.
That makes me so happy.
I've been saving it for this moment.
That makes me so happy. This is something I was thinking about. This is going to go off track for a second, but it's going to come back.
You know what?
It's
going to go wherever you want to.
It's going to loop around.
Just like Mad Max. We don't know where he's going.
Do what the fuck you want. So there is a website called Wait But Why, which sort of explains topics one by one over the course of, you know, however many posts. But they're long posts. They're 30,000, 40,000 word posts.
Yeah.
But chunky.
Wow.
There's been a four-part series on Elon Musk recently. And the one that just got posted basically says that Elon Musk goes back to first principles when he talks and thinks about things. So the reason he's able to be so efficacious in his world-changing ability is that he thinks of things from a fresh start. So he didn't think about space travel the way it's been done. He thought, okay, cool, what does it take to really travel into space? A little bit of copper, some aluminum, I don't know what goes into space travel, obviously, but some stuff, right?
Right.
And
right.
he says, okay, well, that's actually cheaper than they're charging, so let's just build a rocket. And he did that. He said, let's look at the car, but not as if there's been cars for 100 years. Let's look at a car as if it's a new invention, and how would we invent it today? So it goes back to first principles for things. All that is to say is that when I watch this film and when I watch Fury Road, what I really, really like about it, like on a deep, deep ideological level, is the idea that we can look into different theologies and mythos that sort of happen in this alternate universe, where what if you left people with these items and let them go? What would they do? And you get these really idiosyncratic tribes, and you get this weird face paint, and you get the hair dye that we talked about, and they're using things in different ways we wouldn't have seen, and they develop tribes, and they develop their own ideology. That comes back in Fury Road, the idea of the little, what are they called? The little guys? The white guys?
The war boys.
Yeah, the war boys. I mean, all that stuff sort of would maybe arise naturally.
Yeah.
But I love the idea that George Miller just goes back to first principles and then builds these sort of individual tribes in this crazy world.
His world building is unparalleled. And you're right, it's based on very simple things, and he goes back to those things that what if, you know, it's the what if question that, you know, as writers, you know, that's the central question. Mm-hmm. You know, what if this, then that affects everything else.
But it never feels lazy. Like, it would be so easy to do a post-apocalyptic sort of wasteland.
And I've seen a million movies like that.
Exactly
I grew up on these movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so easy to just dial it in and just do something pretty cool. Like, tell a story in a kind of a lazy world. But when you watch these George Miller movies, is George Miller the right guy?
Yeah. Oh, George Miller's the right guy.
I self-doubted for a second.
I mean, Happy Feet, Happy Feet 2,
Babe
2, Pig in the City.
That's what I'm driving at. Yeah, that guy.
That George
same
Miller.
Guy, right. I feel like everything's been thought through. And there's not many movies these days where you watch and you think every detail's been examined, thought through, placed in its proper context, and sort of executed well.
Yeah, which is why I have such a gripe when, you know, like we said in the last episode, that friends of ours are, not friends anymore, but, you know, people have said, Fury Road was terrible, what a, you know, boring, lazy, no story, you know, this and that. And I just can't, I can't understand where they went wrong, those people. Because it is, I mean, you know, obviously you go to the internet and you look at the, you know, the creation of Fury Road, and it took him like 10 fucking years to do
you
it.
You have a reliance on the internet in a way I never knew until this podcast.
And yet, I gave it up for you.
I really appreciate that. Listen, I really think any podcast between two people is an excuse for them to hang out. And I think Yuri and I
really
have been looking,
what this is.
Let's be
which
honest.
Is why we expect nobody to ever
right.
listen to
let's
this.
Let's be clear about what it is. But I've really, in the last two episodes of this, I've learned a lot about you, and I think that's exciting. One is that we had similar upbringings.
It's more for us than you guys.
That's what we're trying to say. Art is personal. But we had similar upbringings in terms of guns and violence. Mm-hmm. And also, you have a really, let's frame it as a strong desire to know facts, not a reliance on Google. We can frame it.
Okay, yeah, you can, I prefer you put it that way.
It's nicer. But I like, go on. I think that's a nice thing that you said.
I don't know where I was going.
Great, fantastic.
can we say that I would like to brag. There's no humility about this brag and no hashtag involved. But I've met and worked with Vernon Wells.
Yes, you said, so this is the guy with the red the
this
red.
This is the guy with
mohawk.
This is the mohawk guy.
Okay.
Who is so iconic for this movie.
So for listeners, this is the guy, the character, I'm gonna describe it as a first time viewer. He's got a red mohawk, he's the guy.
He's the badass of the film.
Not the badass of the film. Well, he's the henchman of the badass, I would say. I would argue.
But arguably does way more than the badass.
Absolutely. No, fair.
In that case.
He certainly shows more of his buttocks than the badass.
Chaps. No, nobody has ever worn chaps more fiercely than Vernon Wells.
But interesting, his name's Vernon. Is that true?
Yeah. Also, Innerspace. Do you remember Innerspace?
Yeah.
Unless I'm, because you're not letting me go to Google, so I can't, or the IMDb, so I can't do this. But I believe Vernon Wells was also the hitman who sort of sets it all in motion in Innerspace. Vernon Wells, yeah.
What a career he's had. I know he does voiceover things.
Well, he does. He works in video games, which is how I know him and how I've worked with him. But he was also in Stuart Gordon's King of the Ants.
Really?
Yeah. He still shows up, man. He lives in here in Hollywood.
He's done some good work. What I find interesting about that character is that this is 1981, let's put it in context. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, he seems to be motivated by a sense of revenge for his lover.
Yeah, his lover who
is
that blonde lover who doesn't say anything.
No, he's
got no line. He's got zero lines.
There's
his hair is amazing.
Incredible. Imagine if Patrick Swayze fell into a vat of hair dye. and just it lost and got Botox in his entire face and couldn't make facial expressions.
Yeah,
that's who we're dealing with here.
Yeah, and I would fall in love with
him. He's magnificent, but he gets killed by this is gonna sound weird. He gets killed by a boomerang to the head. Not that it hits him, but it sticks in his scalp.
Yeah,
and then Vernon.
Yeah,
let's call him Vernon.
Let's call him Vernon because I don't think he has really a character name, does he?
No, you would know if he did.
I should know.
Yeah,
now,
Vernon
now
is
I'm embarrassed. Thanks
by,
for embarrassing me in front of all these people.
Yeah, Vernon is motivated by revenge for his lover, which is, I think, for 81, progressive.
Fucking awesome. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
I would say
cool.
So.
Yeah, I found that very interesting, and it's never really caught. You know, the best thing about these movies, one of the best things about these movies is that they just load you with content and an image and then move on from it. There's no sense to belabor it. There's no sense of like, let's talk about it and examine what that meant, like, which a lot of movies do.
Or explain, which is why I feel what a lot of American movies do and why I really feel that Fury Road crushes it, because it does. It loads you with content and references for which you have no frame of reference.
Sure.
And just trusts that you will either catch up or it doesn't matter to the story, and that it'll, I mean, it made me want to watch the movie again to see if I could figure out all those things that I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't get the first time around.
Do you feel like this is a more excited, energetic, slightly drunker podcast this time?
I don't know. You know, we're gonna have to let them. I look forward to the comments.
I feel like we got really immersed today.
I think it's two things.
Okay.
I think it is the Green Flash Road Warrior Imperial Rye Pale Ale, India Pale Ale, and the fact that it's Road Warrior versus Mad Max.
Right.
I mean, the second film, you can't walk away, and I mean, God forbid we were to watch Fury Road all in one go and then do a podcast, because it would go on for hours and my head would explode.
We'd just talk about
That's why we have to take it. That's why we have to take it 4 minutes at a time.
There's a reason behind everything. I feel like what's really cool about this movie, too, is he took this core concept. Mad Max is set in a very recognizable world. There's, there's gas stations and there's police forces. And it's slightly advanced. The caption at the beginning says, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it says a few years from now, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's recognizable. But this one really takes it on a new thing. And they have this long extended intro where they say, basically, these two opposing superpowers have destroyed the world, and now there's
I had forgotten how long that goes on.
Super long
intro. Yeah.
But he just takes this idea, and it's almost a separate mythos from the first. It is an entirely separate mythos from the first
movie.
It's
like it's gotten worse since the first movie.
Right, but Mel Gibson has aged precisely 2 years.
Right, exactly.
And gotten a gray hairdo.
Maybe that's why they gave him the little gray, is to go...
It's not gray!
Oh, it's been...
That's blonde.
That's true, it's blonde.
They gave him blonde highlights in this movie,
in
81 was
badass.
Just
in his George Clooney area, or just as in Reed Richards area.
Right, there, yeah. It just has slightly... Yeah. I mean, as you get older in this movie, you obviously get blonde hair.
Do you think maybe he was scared? Like, you know, sometimes people get scared into different hair colors.
No one gets scared into blonde.
Okay, good point.
That's not what happens.
And he doesn't get scared.
Scared
of
into blonde sounds like a Madonna album title.
You just gave that away.
Sure, it's just gold. But this one is like a straight up mythology. He's saying, listen, we're in a futuristic world now. There's an oil thing we're dealing with. It's not Mad Max at all. I mean, all that happened was, I think the studio probably said, can you make a movie like that? We'll give you some more money. And we want to make sure, because Mad Max must have been a hit, can you call it Mad Max 2 and we'll do a thing? And keep Mel Gibson, because he's gold. He's got great eyes, great nipples, as we've talked about.
You know, no, we haven't talked about that on the... That was just you and me talking about.
Please,
go ahead. That was something I neglected from the last one, is I could not help but stare at Mel Gibson's nipples when he's talking to his wife, and she's sort of stroking his chest.
Yeah.
He has perfect... They're like a woman's nipple. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing about that. Is that I'm a proponent of free the nipple, the whole movement. I'm a proponent of women's rights. But this, more than anything, has shown me, I would say conclusively, that men's and women's nipples don't have that much difference. They're very similar. Mel Gibson has, I would say, feminine nipples, but he's clearly a masculine guy.
Right. Maybe it's just that they're so, I don't know, they're so
What are your hand movements right now?
It was, yeah, that's
for
really,
the listeners. Yuri
no,
is
no,
milking,
don't describe.
He's
don't
milking
describe.
A cow or jerking off two guys.
Right.
It's hard to tell what he's doing, but somehow this is connected to
both
nipples
at the same time.
Please
if
continue.
If I was an octopus,
yeah. What were you doing?
There, what's the word that
supple?
Symmetrical.
Oh,
they're perfectly. I mean, you only see the one in that
are
one
your
scene.
Nipples unsymmetrical?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've looked at them. But the nipples and his eyes. That was something else that you...
Eyes and nipples. The Mel Gibson story.
The Mel Gibson story. Eyes and nipples.
And anti-Semitism.
You know, I was at a... it was 101 Funny Screenplays. It was a WGA panel the other night at the Arclight Cinerama Dome. And it was the most amazing panels of people. And Rob Reiner was basically master of ceremonies.
Great.
And they had the screenwriters who did What Women Want. Mm. And they came on, and Rob Reiner's
the funniest screenplay?
Well, but not just them.
Okay, that's weird.
You know, let's just say. But Rob Reiner's got zero filter, for the record. And when they came on, they were like, oh, that was, you know, with Mel Gibson. That old Jew lover. He just in front of, you know, a crowd of, you know.
Holy shit.
And then they came up and they were talking. He said, so what was it like working with that old anti-Semite? Like, I mean, he just doesn't give a fuck.
Oh, I love that so
much. Me too.
Much.
He was so, I mean, seeing the other people, with Jon Favreau was there, right. And, you know, a bunch of other people.
So it was comedy legends.
The Zucker brothers and David Abrams.
Yeah, I mean, like they were super right-wing too.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the comedy
maestros of America and the people who wrote What Women Want.
Yeah.
Is the title of the...
There you go.
Great.
There you go. But it was Rob Reiner. Love that guy, but whole new level of respect.
Was The Jerk the number one screenplay? What was the funniest?
No, but it was in the list. It was I think, above 50 on that list.
I mean, it's got to be in the top 10, right?
Since we said that we're going to be honest about this, I left before it was done.
Okay.
It was going on a lot. It was...
I can imagine.
It went on a long time. Because they broke it down into sort of four. They would sort of sure show, you know, about 25 on a list. They'd show a few scenes from some of them. And then they would have a screenwriter who had written a screenplay in those 25 talk for a little bit. And Jon Favreau did Swingers for the first bit. And then, who's the guy? Sideways and About Schmidt. And, wow.
Yep. Nope, I know who you're talking about.
Told you, I'm a genre
Can't
guy.
Can't Google.
I'm a genre guy.
Can't Google.
I'll think of it in a second. Not very funny at all in person. Not a little
well,
too serious for me.
Aren't
but yeah. No, and you're right.
Really
he's a different. Yeah, when they said Sideways was a comedy, that struck me.
It is, but it's like a. God, what is his name? It's going to drive me crazy.
Yeah, I know. Most of our podcasts, I can already tell, are going to be us going,
We've outsourced our memory to a machine, which we have to get over.
They say kids, I mean, remember, I mean, I'm older than you, but I think you're still old enough to remember when you were a kid growing up learning things, you had to memorize things. You had to go to the library and look things up in encyclopedias.
Yeah.
And kids nowadays do not have to do that. And I think I've heard that their brains are developing in a different way because they don't have to
In a way, it's, I mean, there's two camps on this. Have you read the
book? I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No, I'm just saying.
What
some people
do,
I don't know where I fall yet. Have you read the book Moonwalking with Einstein?
I have not.
Okay, let me just pitch you this. This is not related to Mad Max at all. Like, in no tangential way is it related, but it's important. So it's a book
just
about
remember,
a guy.
In pitching me, you're pitching them.
Great. I'm going to pitch everybody on this book. So the idea of the book is, this guy goes to, he works for Wired or some magazine like that, Slate or something. He goes to cover the World Memory Championships. And these guys will shuffle 50 decks of cards and then memorize the entire thing. They'll memorize a random
memory
string
palace.
Of, you know, 150, 200,000, crazy amounts of numbers. And he goes to them, and after the competition, he goes and interviews them. So when did you know you had a great memory? Like, what's it like to have a great memory? And all of the contestants said the same thing. They said, oh, I have a very bad memory. I forget my keys all the time. I don't know where my sunglasses are. And he's like, the journalist is like, what are you talking? His name's Joshua Foer. He says, what are you talking about? And they said, no, this is just skills. This is not an innate ability. And he goes, I'm so sorry, I don't believe you. Like, I've just watched you memorize a deck of 50 50 decks of cards, like shuffled. Like, what are you talking about? It's a learned skill. He goes, and they all said, I could show you. All of them said that. So the last one who said that was the guy who won. And he goes, okay, great, teach me. And so for a year, this guy goes through and goes through these memory lessons, which he takes you through in the book, teaches you, you know, memory palace mm-hmm. techniques, other techniques. Mm-hmm. And then next year, the next year, the journalist goes to the World Memory Championships and wins the competition.
What?
Yeah, true story.
How have I not heard?
It's a great book. It's really, really good. I really think that stuff is really, really, really fascinating and super, super. Wait, where are we at?
Wow, I think we got to wrap this up.
I got off on a track again, Yuri.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm sorry about that.
I think really that Mad Max Fury Road is just a gateway drug. For
I
us
love that
to...
this was. I mean, listen. Road Warrior is great. I don't even know why I got distracted from Road Warrior. It's such a good film.
It really is, right?
Yeah. If you haven't seen Road Warrior, please go watch it. I feel silly for not having watched it up until now. I can promise you this, Yuri. Mm-hmm. I will be rewatching at some point. I want to go back through it.
You can take this Blu-ray home with you.
I'm going to steal your DVD Blu-ray.
Do it.
Which is apparently pirated from 17 different international countries.
Right. You're right. I know. And at least they didn't do a horrible dub on this one. Are you excited for the next film?
Well, you've got me less excited. I mean, reaction...
shit.
No. Your reaction to it was nonplussed.
I'm actually excited because it's been so long since I've seen it. And I would like to see exactly how this fits in between Road Warrior and Fury Road.
Well, the ace in the hole for me is
And it's fucking thunder. I mean, there's still a lot of classic, iconic moments to this film. I would argue that the first 30 minutes are great. If I recall correctly, the first 30 minutes are great and then it starts to wander. But you know what? I'm actually really excited to see it.
I'm excited, too. I love Tina Turner, and so far, I've not been let down by much in this trilogy so far. It's been really, really exciting for me. And the simplicity... Here's the thing also, too. Star Wars and Star Trek have this issue also, which is an expansive, incredible world you could tap into and telling a very small story in that world. Yeah. We have to get this tanker out of this area. That's the whole plot of Road Warrior.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, arguably where Marvel seems to be failing on their movies in these days, which is it always ends with, we've got to save the fucking world from everything.
Too big.
Which is why Ant-Man, I thought, was great. Because, I mean, in some ways, it's about saving
smaller.
The world, but it's smaller.
Yeah, that's good, though. That's a beautiful thing here. This whole movie takes place in a 3-mile radius, pretty much.
Yeah.
In this iconically huge world that's this post-apocalyptic nightmare that theoretically, which is interesting, theoretically has tribes everywhere doing their own things, painting their faces their own certain ways, you know, living their own rituals, having their own specific leaders.
We should do a Mad Max fan film.
I mean, instantly. Can I be the grand... What's this guy's name again? Captain
Lord
Humongous?
Lord
Humongous.
Captain Lord Humongous.
Lord Humongous is the dumbest. That's what drives me crazy about George Miller, is that he's so brilliant, and there's fucking moments of idiocy in all these movies. Naming him Lord Humongous, you have to concede.
I want you to challenge me to find the idiocy in Mad Max Fury Road, which I feel is one of the greatest films of all time. Because
guaranteed.
I bet I can do it.
I mean, there's got to be dumb things in that movie. I mean, right now I can't think of it. But some of the names have to be silly.
Oh, without a doubt.
But even like was it Doof Warrior or something?
Doof Warrior.
That's cool, though. That's not dumb. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord Humongous is not cool.
Okay. I'm gonna go with you on that.
Okay. You can disagree. I'm okay. This podcast can be all about disagreement if we have to have it that way. But
you know, I started last time by saying it was going to be really boring because you and I it was just going to be a love fest. But I'd like to believe that we will grow into disagreements.
I feel like let me be honest with you. Let's have a moment of honesty. I feel like deep down, you think Lord Humongous is okay.
Shit.
Is that true? Because you're giving me a look like I'm not going to pick this fight, but I think you're wrong.
He's kind of amazing. And the name is still kind of badass.
Lord, because here's what happened. There's no way his last name is Humongous. Let's just go on record and say, there's no way that's true. So he said, okay, from here on out, there's a moment. He got in the gym. He got big enough. He's like, okay, from this point on, my name is Lord Humongous. Everyone call me Lord Humongous. And people are like, no, and then he beat the shit out of them. Like, okay, cool, you're Lord Humongous from here on out.
But they still all thought he was an asshole for
saying
it.
Totally! But like, the idea, the backstory of that character, the idea that he would have to choose that name, because no one was like, you know what we should call you, Lord Humongous. No one else gave him that nickname. He gave it to himself, for sure.
That's a good point.
And that makes it incredible. And you know, because George Miller has thought through everything in these movies, you know George Miller thought through the backstory of Lord Humongous, and you know George Miller in his head has like a story about like, well, you know, Barry was at the gym one day and someone just looked big and Barry was like, call me Lord Humongous. There's some backstory to this character.
You know, we were going to agree to disagree, but I can't disagree with you on that. Thanks.
How
for
much just spent Road Warrior
you
beer?
Just Road Warrior beer. I want the by the time we're done, I want this nerd hole to smell like Road Warrior. Thank you for joining us.
My name's Travis Sintel.
I'm Yuri Lowenthal, and you are awaited.